This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. An underwater 8.0 magnitude earthquake off Russia's eastern coast, triggering tsunami warnings around the Pacific Rim from Japan to coastal Alaska to Hawaii. Officials say the Las Vegas gunman who killed four people in a Midtown Manhattan office tower Monday had a note found in his wallet that blamed his mental health problems on the NFL and brain injury CTE. On Air Force One, President Trump moving up his deadline to Vladimir Putin for Russia to come to the negotiating table with Ukraine.
10 days from today.
Got it.
Okay?
Got it.
Good.
How do you communicate?
We have a scoop.
Thank you.
And then, you know, we're going to put on tariffs and stuff, and I don't know if it's going to affect Russia, because he wants to obviously probably keep the war going.
The manhunt expanding after Clinton and Kristen Brink were killed on a hiking trail in a Arkansas State Park on Saturday. Their children were unharmed. This is ABC News. Maryland Democrats who say they were denied entry into an immigration detention facility in Baltimore staged a sit-in.
Senator Chris Van Hollen says they were visiting to conduct oversight of holding rooms at the Fallon Federal Building, where ICE has been accused of not meeting basic human needs. It's the same place that once housed Kilmar Abrego Garcia, who was living in Maryland when he was deported to El Salvador despite a court order. In response to the lawmakers' visit, the Department of Homeland Security telling them, quote, if you need a photo op with a violent criminal illegal aliens you're protecting, schedule a tour.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio. Van Hollen says they did request a visit, but were told tours are no longer allowed, regardless of notice. A month after she was acquitted of murder, Karen Reed has filed a motion to get her personal property returned. She's seeking her 2021 Lexus and cell phone, which were confiscated by Massachusetts State Police. Reed was found not guilty of second-degree murder, manslaughter, and leaving the scene of a crime in June. Dave Packer, ABC News.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Back in first place. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with an 8-4 win over the Cubs in Milwaukee. That put the Brewers back in first place, a game ahead of Chicago. Cubs lefty Matthew Boyd had been the hottest pitcher in the league, but gave up 5 earned runs off of 6 hits in 5 innings pitched. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I don't think Boyd had his best stuff. We took our walks. You don't see him walking that many guys in a game ever. So I love that part of it. What a day for Contreras and Yelich to come up big.
NFL Packers training camp continues today in Green Bay. In Madison, the Wisconsin Badgers packing up the team bus, headed to UW-Platteville to begin training camp. Defensive coordinator Mike Tressel on what he told his players.
Talk about our defensive objectives. Our guys have looked at every single day since spring ball. These are the numbers that put you in the top 10 defense in the nation in each of those areas.
That's Badgers defensive coach Mike Tressel with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Phineas and Ferb are coming back in 2026. Season 5 is currently on the air, but it's being called a revival. At Comic-Con last week in San Diego, the producers celebrated said revival of the Disney show, which launched 10 new episodes June 5th, and announced that the next batch of episodes will drop next year. Phineas and Ferb debuted in 2007, but went off the air in 2015. The USA Network has announced it has canceled Resident Alien, despite the show carving out a nice following over its 4 seasons. The announcement was made right before the season 4 finale last week. The sci-fi comedy is about an alien who is also a doctor in a small town and tries to conceal his identity. The show is based on a book of the same title. Executive producer Chris Sheridan says he wasn't totally caught off guard by the surprise, and for what it's worth, says the season 4 finale episode is his favorite of the whole series. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, slight storm chance, and a low in the mid-60s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds, still a chance of storms, and highs in the mid-70s. Sun's back for Thursday. Highs again mid-70s. We're sitting at 84 degrees right now.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll be talking about the gubernatorial race along with Trigvi Olsen, the Lincoln Project, and Pat Kreitlow. A morning to Pat Kreitlow. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, this is kind of a special show today. We're going to have Arvina Martin on the whole show. We're going to work her really hard and ask her and grill her all these questions. And there's a lot happening nationally, but also to our neighbors. And, of course, we're all over Civic Media in Wisconsin and talk about what's happening in Wisconsin. I know we had Arvina on, and then the next day Governor Evers made a post and a live update to us here on Native Roots Radio. So I just want to welcome Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin. Thank you so much for being on today. Oh, I can't hear you. Yeah. Oh, there you go. I can hear you now.
We good?
Yep, we're great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me. It's weird to be here on a Tuesday.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Switching around the schedule. Tomorrow we're going to have State Representative Heather Keeler on, and she could only make tomorrow. So I really appreciate you coming on a day early. And I don't appreciate that hoodie you have on. Oh, just kidding. It is that time of year now, isn't it?
We're starting to think about football again. And it's getting a little cooler. It's about like 20 degrees cooler here in Madison than it was last time I talked to you. So,
yeah, that is awesome. Well, I want to jump right away and talk about Governor Evers not running again. There was talk around circles for a couple, for about a year that I was hearing is what's going to happen if Governor Evers doesn't run again. And I know here in Minnesota, it's really hard to win three terms. And I know Governor Evers is, I believe, 75. Does that sound right?
I think so. Around that age.
Yeah. And so I'm kind of sad to see him go, but I also know that there's good future. I believe his lieutenant governor is stepped up and wants to run for governor. So she's been on the show a few times too, but really excited to hear what your thoughts are and what's happening in Wisconsin. And again, thank you so much, Arvina Martin of Emerge, CEO of Emerge Wisconsin, for joining us.
Yeah. So I'm really grateful for what will be 8 years of service as Wisconsin's governor that Tony Evers has given. He's also, I can't remember how many times he was elected, but he was also prior to that, our state superintendent of schools. So he has given quite a bit to the state of Wisconsin, to kids in Wisconsin and our education system. And he was the leader of the state during unprecedented times during the COVID pandemic. And I think, you know, he led in a compassionate, science-based way during a really difficult time that we've all gone through. And I'm really grateful that he has put in the work that he's done. And I think he has earned himself a retirement and time to hang out, spend time with his family and loved ones. And he's certainly earned it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And geez, I don't know. There was a few things we talked about last week. I remember he kind of put one over on the Republicans when it came to, I believe it was food and the kids could be, or funding for education or something like that, where they would be educated or the funding would happen forever. And it flew over the head of the Republicans. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I'm trying to look that up for the specific but he definitely made use of the his veto pen and the Supreme Court decision that allows them to take out letters and numbers and individual phrases within in a bill to then and then, you know, kind of change what the bill is. Oh, mm-hmm. It was a 400-year veto. He used his partial veto power. That was it. It was a temporary school funding increase, and he was able to delete specific digits and punctuation marks, and made that funding legal for 400 years. Yeah, I mean, it was creative, and it was done based on, you know, a lot of the tricks that previous Republican governors had done, and he did it to protect funding for schools, for public education, for the students of Wisconsin, and that kind of support that he gave, you know, really provided for a more solid future for the state of education in Wisconsin, that this money was going to be around for a while, as opposed to the short period, the temporary period that it was originally going to be around for. So, you know, it's so much easier to plan, you know, through multi-year projects. You're able to plan when you know that money is going to be around, and it makes things more efficient when you know the funding is going to be there. So, you know, you are able to take on projects that need to be taken on in order to, you know, improve schools, public schools here in Wisconsin.
What I really liked, Arvina, too, is that over the years is that he was able to get the veto pen out there and some really stupid bills and really block them. And, you know, just generally speaking, we were just so happy to hear that and have him as governor because of all the gerrymandering that's happened in Wisconsin over the years and how the Republicans are running the House and the Senate there. So it's great to have a governor like that. And yeah, he really deserves a time off. And I do believe too, he was a teacher too, before he was superintendent.
He is, you know, I think that both here in Wisconsin and you all in Minnesota know that teachers make great governors. You know, they've had to work directly with kids. They've had to, you know, work within a system that has had money constantly being removed from it, making things more difficult. And, you know, I feel like now, I mean, even just this week, you know, some of the back to school ads are starting, and I'm already seeing posts for either GoFundMes or other events where folks can donate to fulfill classroom wish lists. And this is to get things like markers and Kleenex and things that all classrooms need that are not being provided by the funding that schools get. This is a really kind of ripe time to be thinking about that, because we're all kind of starting. I'm not ready to think back to school yet. I mean, it's still July for another couple of days. The reality is it's starting soon, and you know, kids are going to be back in classrooms. You know, making sure that they have the resources, the schools have the resources they need to educate students throughout Wisconsin is absolutely necessary.
Wow, absolutely. Hey, we're here with our friend Arvina Martin, and it's great to have you on today. And we have more to talk about what's happening in Wisconsin and what's happening national, and also checking in on Emerge Wisconsin, the great organization that you help lead. Really appreciate you. This is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NACD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACD.org.
Hey, it's Patrick for Zero Res. The month of July is National Carpet Cleaning Month, and because of that, Zero Res is offering a purchase of 3 rooms of carpet clean. Get 1 room free plus $50 off an air duct cleaning. Maybe you're having a barbecue for the 4th of July. We'll also have Aquatennial coming up in Minneapolis later this month. You want to make sure your home is fresh and clean for your friends and family coming over to celebrate. If your carpet's looking more like a snowbank in late March, muddy, crunchy, and kind of mysterious, it's time to call Zero Res, don't you know? These folks come in with their fancy schmancy ZR water. It's like regular water, but with a master's degree in cleanliness. Zero Res can handle it all. Carpets, tiles, rugs, upholstery, air ducts. Basically, every surface in your home can be Zero Resified. So it's time to call the cleaning pros at Zero Res today. Schedule your appointment at ZeroResMinnesota.com or call 952-ZERO-RES and ask for the AM 950 special. Backward or forward spells the same. Zero Res.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Native Roots Radio, and we are here with our friend Arvina Martin, and we were just talking about Governor Evers leaving office and how sad we are. But, you know, we've had Sarah Rodriguez on a few times on Native Roots Radio, and I'm really excited that she's running. Are there any other people you know of running? And what are your thoughts on the Lieutenant Governor?
Oh, my goodness. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez is awesome. She is has been a registered nurse. She's worked in the ER. She's worked in public health. In 2020, she started her political career by flipping a state assembly seat from red to blue, and served there in the state assembly before joining Governor Evers' ticket by running for and winning the primary for lieutenant governor. She is sharp. She is very thoughtful. She has, you know, she's reached out to tribes and has tried to, you know, work through. And something that I appreciate about her is that she, when she wants to go visit communities, she asks them what they want to show off. You know, a lot of folks will come, especially to tribal communities, and expect to see this like same kind of thing. You know, those kinds of things can start to veer into what we call like trauma porn, unfortunately. And it's really, I think it's great when elected officials come to visit tribes and want to see what the tribal communities are proud of, whether that is like language preservation, cultural preservation, public health clinics. You know, there's so many things that tribes are doing so well. And being able to go out and see what makes tribal governments or what programs tribal governments are running with degrees of success is really important to see. And it's clear that she sees tribal governments as peer institutions. I think that's extremely important for any governor that is dealing with tribes in their state. I know she is currently the only candidate that has officially joined the race. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley has also said that he will be throwing his hat in the ring, but he has not yet officially declared his candidacy. He is the youngest county executive in Milwaukee history, the first Black county executive, and also a former state representative representing the Milwaukee area. I do know less about him, but he is also very thoughtful and is someone that I think would be an outstanding governor. I'm looking forward to a very robust primary season. I think we are going to get many more candidates from the Democratic Party that are going to run for governor, which is very, very exciting. I think it's always a great time when you get to vote for somebody who is going to be like the best option out of a lot of good options, as opposed to the least worst, which I feel like a lot of times people feel like that's what they're choosing is the least worst candidate. And I know on the Democratic side that there are going to be lots of outstanding candidates who are going to throw their names in, and we're going to see, you know, really solid discussions of ideas, and hopefully not any, kind of character assassination or nasty campaigning throughout the primary, because, you know, ultimately we need to hang on to that. You know, Democrats are really looking for that trifecta of having both houses of the legislature in Democratic control as well as the governor's office. So, you know, this is a big time.
It made me think when you were talking about the lieutenant governor. I think it was the first time I met the governor, and he was coming down to, I think it was Black River Falls, to see how we were giving out the COVID vaccines, because Ho-Chunk Nation was doing so well, not only to their elders but to their people, but to the community. And he wanted to come down and check that out. And I got to, you know, before I was a Ho-Chunk legislator, I was the selfie king, and I got a couple of good pictures of him and I.
Yes, I remember that because my sister, Kiana Bodine, was executive director of health at the time. And, you know, I was so proud of her and as well as her staff for organizing those COVID vaccination clinics. They were so well run. They were very efficient. It was nice because we got to see relatives we hadn't seen in at least a year, even if we couldn't hug them yet. But I also know that because we had so many extra vaccine doses, that they opened it up to anybody in Wisconsin that needed it. And I had friends from high school that were reaching out to me to ask about it so that their parents could get vaccinated, non-native folks. And I mean, that, you know, obviously highlights the importance of tribal health care, and how it serves the greater community. And I remember being really proud that both Governor Evers and at the time Lieutenant Governor Barnes both made the trip to Black River, I believe it was either Black River or Baraboo, to one of the clinics to see, you know, how that was happening and see the incredible work that the Department of Health had put forth in order to protect not only Ho-Chunk Nation tribal members but members of the greater Wisconsin community.
Yeah, I got to thank the former Lieutenant Barnes for the opportunity. He was running for, I believe, senator, and he had a rally in Milwaukee, and I got to meet Obama for 13 seconds, and it was awesome. I got a picture and everything.
That's awesome. I have not met President Obama, gotten a picture with him. I worked on his campaign.
Oops, it looks like you're frozen. Oh, I wonder if you can come back and leave and come back. You seem to be frozen. And why Arvina's doing that, I'm going to tell a quick story. She got unfrozen there. So I was kind of upset with former President Obama, and here she is back. I wanted to tell this story, Arvina. I was kind of upset with Obama because of Standing Rock, and I wanted free Leonard Peltier and all these things. And so I had a free Leonard Peltier button on, and I wanted to tell him off a little bit. And then we got in there. It was Representative White Eagle was, and I were there, and he reached his hand out and said, "Hey, nice to meet you." I melted. I wanted to give him a kiss. I shook his hand, got a picture, and then 13 seconds, I was gone. I was like, what the heck happened? I was going to tell him off.
Oh, dear. But he just, you know, was nice and friendly and kind of probably disarmed you a little bit.
a lot. And the he was very charismatic, and it really hit me. So that was my story. It was like 13 seconds later, I got a picture, and my head was spinning and going, oh, my God. That was awesome.
I just met the president.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Awesome. And so,
yeah, just putting his hand out and go, hey, nice to meet you. And it was like, huh? Come here. I wanted to kiss him full on the lips and hug him.
Oh, dear.
It was crazy. And next thing you know, I'm out the room and my head spinning, and I got the picture a couple weeks later. To prove I was there.
That's kind of how those events go. It's very quick. You know, you're in for a second, you get to say one thing. I got to meet President Biden a couple of years back when he came to the Madison area, and I got to greet him and say, you know, I'm a member of the Ho-Chunk Nation, and it's my honor to welcome you to our ancestral homelands. And his eyes got very big, and he was, he was very excited and said to me, you know, I love it when Native people remind us that they're citizens of their nations as well. And I got to take a picture with him, and I got a hug. It was very nice. But like you said, those kinds of encounters are so fast, and you just kind of whiz through the whole thing, and it seems very ephemeral, that it's not really you know, something that lasts long.
Yeah, that's my story. It's an amazing story because you know, I had a game plan and it didn't go as planned, but it was great to meet him. And I missed out on Biden. He was here in the Twin Cities, and I think I was in New York that week. But yeah, it's hard to talk about the former President Biden because of such a great job he did for the communities and all these things that, you know, we talked about Obama for a second. He was very more liberal than Obama and passed a lot of great laws while he was in there. So it's hard to talk about him because we miss him so much.
Especially in light of the way things are happening right now. It's hard to really overstate the impact that he had. You know, he got some of the most progressive legislation signed into law.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. An underwater 8.0 magnitude earthquake off Russia's eastern coast, triggering tsunami warnings around the Pacific Rim from Japan to coastal Alaska to Hawaii. Officials say the Las Vegas gunman who killed four people in a Midtown Manhattan office tower Monday had a note found in his wallet that blamed his mental health problems on the NFL and brain injury CTE. On Air Force One, President Trump moving up his deadline to Vladimir Putin for Russia to come to the negotiating table with Ukraine.
10 days from today.
Got it.
Okay?
Got it.
Good.
How do you communicate?
We have a scoop.
Thank you.
And then, you know, we're going to put on tariffs and stuff, and I don't know if it's going to affect Russia, because he wants to obviously probably keep the war going.
The manhunt expanding after Clinton and Kristen Brink were killed on a hiking trail in a Arkansas State Park on Saturday. Their children were unharmed. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers back in first place. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with an 8-4 win over the Cubs in Milwaukee. That put the Brewers back in first place, a game ahead of Chicago. Cubs lefty Matthew Boyd had been the hottest pitcher in the league, but gave up 5 earned runs off of 6 hits in 5 innings pitched. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I don't think Boyd had his best stuff. We took our walks. You don't see him walking that many guys in a game ever. So I love that part of it. What a day for Contreras and Yelich to come up big.
NFL Packers training camp continues today in Green Bay. In Madison, the Wisconsin Badgers packing up the team bus, headed to UW-Platteville to begin training camp. Defensive coordinator Mike Tressel on what he told his players.
Talk about our defensive objectives. Our guys have looked at every single day since spring ball. These are the numbers that put you in the top 10 defense in the nation in each of those areas.
That's Badgers defensive coach Mike Tressel with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Three Body Problem is moving forward with a 2-season cast. The show about a Chinese scientist who inadvertently signals aliens, then discovers they are headed towards Earth and will arrive in a couple decades, was a critic's darling after season one. The scientists band together with a detective to help stave off an existential planetary threat. Claudia Dumit and Ellie DeLange join the cast. Season two of Three Body Problem drops in 2026 on Netflix. Here's a Pete pick. It's an oldie, but a goodie. For whatever reason, I never got around to watching the show Dexter until this past weekend. The Showtime drama thriller about a forensic scientist who is a serial killer, but only kills those he deems deserving, is at times suspenseful, thoughtful, and complex. The show dropped in 2006 and ran for 8 seasons. If you're looking for mystery accompanied by some dismemberment, you have several seasons to binge, and all of them can be streamed at Paramount Plus. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, slight storm chance, and a low in the mid-60s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds, still a chance of storms, and highs in the mid-70s. Sun's back for Thursday, highs again mid-70s. We're sitting at 84 degrees right now.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of Wisconsinology.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years,
yeah,
to let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt and Air on Air.
Kareen Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Kareen, about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, guests from the Chippewa Falls School District will talk about declining enrollment and the disproportionate way that school districts are hurt when it comes to state aid.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Here we are with Arvina Martin, Emerge Wisconsin CEO, and our friend giving us updates of what's happening in Wisconsin. And we really appreciate you and doing that. I want to before we get into it, I want to talk about Emerge Wisconsin, of course. And but before that, I kind of want to talk about some national stuff. And one of the things I wanted to get rid of my Paramount Plus subscription because of what they did to the Tonight or the Night Show CBS caving into POTUS, but I still had the subscription and I had to watch the South Park episode that came out, and I don't know if you saw it, but it definitely was what the clips had to say when I saw on the internet. It was crazy. Any thoughts on that?
So I haven't seen it yet. I will tell more, but we had our last training weekend for Emerge Wisconsin. So I was pretty busy, but I have seen a lot of the the press about it, and you know, way to go, South Park show writers and animators and everybody, for turning things around so quickly and really making a statement. You know, that merger ended up going through. So obviously it didn't affect Trump that bad, but you know, he's probably still stewing about it privately. I'm surprised we haven't seen more of him kind of melting down and having tantrums on his social media.
Yeah, we did. And it was funny too, because the day after that, those guys signed a $1 billion contract with Paramount, and the next day they put out the show.
I mean that's a pretty incredible turnaround, especially for an animated show. Animation takes quite a while to do, so it helps that their style is simpler, but it is remarkable that they managed to get away with it.
Yeah, definitely. And it's amazing too. With all the things going on, we have to not lose sight when it comes to Epstein and his cohort that they're trying to make a deal with. We can't lose sight of the victims. And I think sometimes the press does do that, where they're talking about things and normalizing things. And really, these people, and she should be in prison for the 20 years that she should be, because she helped out Epstein so much. And I can't believe we're even talking about a pardon for her. And we always have to remember what happened to the victims, and they were children.
Absolutely. I mean, she engaged and was found guilty of the charges relating to child sex trafficking. But you know, dangling a pardon in front of her, I don't know, you know, how we can be trustful, I guess, is the word I'm looking for, of her testimony and what she says. You know, she's in jail. She's going to be in jail for 20 years. Or that was what her sentence was. But, you know, she is very, I mean, what is holding her back from lying in order to get a pardon or in order to get protection of some sort somehow, maybe get her sentence reduced? I mean, that would be awful. Like, these are heinous crimes against children, against young women. And we do forget that. This is a really important thing to be talking about. But at the same time, you know, her credibility is kind of shot. regardless of what she says. You know, I heard that she is not willing to testify before Congress without certain kinds of protection or immunity. And I mean, it's such a Sophie's choice,
right?
To make a decision about what you want, whether you give in. It's really an untenable situation, and it continues with, you know, it just, the story keeps going. It's not going away. People do care about this. We want to know if there are any of our leaders that were, you know, taking part in these activities. Especially given, you know, we heard about the birthday note that Trump drew and wrote for Jeffrey Epstein. You know, we've seen the pictures of him, of Epstein at Trump's wedding. You know, he knew that he was in the files and sat on it and didn't do anything. And then, you know, his Justice Department declared the whole thing closed and said, nope, nothing more to see here. We got everybody.
What's interesting, Irvina, is people talk about the island and everything. These two were neighbors. There was stuff happening with young women in New York City, you know, or not New York, Florida. They were neighbors. And so, I mean, and she was lying during her court proceedings. She was perjuring herself back then. So why are we going to believe her now? So I just want to keep this out there talking about it. I appreciate you talking about it because it's very disturbing, and it's things that, you know, young children should not be going through, and it's just horrific. And here we are revisiting it again too, because, you know, they ran on, you know, this list and opening it up. The Democrats didn't run on this, and that's why it hasn't been brought up. But now they brought it up, and now they're sorry that they did.
Because their base, you know, this is what their base wants, and that's what they fed into. And now, you know, they expect that base to go along with whatever Trump says, because they have previously, and they're, and Trump is finding out now that this is something that is kind of a deal breaker in a sense, you know, that they want to know that this whole mess of terrible crimes against children and against women had been happening, you know, and he's stoked those flames, and now just wants to throw water on it, and, you know, the flames keep going, and I don't know how he gets out of it.
Yeah, well, do you think his 35% base will be able to do math when he's saying it's a victory that he's got these countries going for 15% tariffs? And we all remember that we really started with zero tariffs, but the 15% is not going to be paid by these other countries. It's going to be paid by us.
Absolutely. The prices on everything are going to be going up, and things that we can't produce here in the United States. You know, somebody was talking about bananas and how the price of bananas now are so high. I mean, that's a staple in so many Americans' grocery lists. And, you know, a congressman saying, well, we'll just have to make them here. We can't make bananas here. We don't have the climate to grow bananas, not make bananas. We don't. It's not possible. And hopefully that base will see that the prices that they're paying are going up and not down. You know, and hopefully, you know, fingers crossed that base sees that and continues to you know, hold Trump accountable and make him uncomfortable about it.
Well, it's make a problem and then fix a problem. I got to sneeze.
Uh-oh. Sneezes happen.
Yeah. I was hoping you'd tell a joke in between that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just
saying. You were watching me going, oh my God, he really is sneezing. But yeah, I just was like, you know, make a problem and then half ass fix it. And that's what he's been doing. And now he's going to, again, the tariffs. What a joke. He's not doing any favors. He's raising the tariffs, not 100%, but 15%. And that's still going to hit the pocketbooks.
Absolutely. And you know, we're seeing Republicans kind of take that tactic of creating a problem and then expecting Democrats to fix it. You know, we have a lot of state Republican legislators here that have been railing against Evers about the state budget or saying, you know, you need to put more money into public health or Medicaid or Medicare. And the reason why there isn't that money there is because they voted against it at the national level. So, you know, to then kind of try to turn around and blame Democrats didn't have anything to do with this. This is all Republican. And again, they are, you know, the provisions of the big bogus bill, you know, are that they don't, the effects don't start taking place until after 2026. So, you know, anticipating that Democrats will, you know, take over during the midterms and then being able to say, look, this happened after Democrats were elected. Well, they timed it that way. And we need to keep talking about that. We need to make sure that people know that, you know, a lot of these things are going to be happening regardless. And it is not the fault of Democrats in Congress. It is not the fault of Democrats here in Wisconsin. You know, folks in rural communities are already seeing hospitals that are either anticipating shutting down because they know they will not have the funding in the next couple of years, but also reducing their services. And that's going to have, you know, extremely detrimental consequences, and people will die because there won't be enough emergency rooms that are close enough to folks that live in rural communities, and it's just, it'll be absolutely devastating.
You know, we only got a few seconds here, but I just got to say this. I know they vote against, the Republicans vote against it, and next thing you know, they're at the ribbon cutting saying what a great job that they did, even though they voted against it. So the hypocrisy is just amazing. Hey, let's talk a little Emerge Wisconsin next segment and get into our happy place.
Yeah.
Right on. Hey, we're with Arvina Martin, and this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NAGDI. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NAGDI.org.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
Crooners is a classic supper club with a wide range of entertainment. Make your reservations for a parade of international, national, and local artists in the main stage showroom, the intimate Dunsmore Jazz Room, or outdoors at the seasonal Belvedere Under the Stars space. Or enjoy Maggie's Piano Lounge. Enjoy four-star food and drinks with first-class supper club service. What are you waiting for? Go to croonersmn.com for more information and schedule. That's croonersmn.com.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Native Roots Radio, and we always want to, like, howl for our relatives, the wolves, and we know the Lieutenant Governor here in Minnesota is in the wolf clan, so I don't know, Arvina, if you will join me in a quick howl. That's howl for our wolves.
Okay.
Oh! Thank you so much, Big Peeny Geeky. Hey, before we get into Emerge, I want to spring this on you. I'm sorry. Do you have any word, Ho-Chunk word for the day?
Oh my goodness. Okay, I have one that I just thought of. It means sparkly. And that word is gushinishini.
Shinishini. I like that.
Wait, hold on. I got to start it over again. Oh my gosh. Gushini shini. That's it.
Ooh, that I see why you had to start that over.
Yeah.
So we have Wozua here, and that means fun times, and we're having fun times here, and we're going to talk a little bit about Emerge Wisconsin, which you were saying earlier that you've been really busy with the finals for this last group. Tell us a little bit about that and what you got coming up next, and tell our listening audience about Emerge Wisconsin.
Absolutely. We had our final training weekend last weekend, and we actually held it at the Dejo Hochira, the Madison area branch office. I do think it's important for Emerge class participants to be part of and see Native spaces. And this being a great community resource, we spent the weekend talking about things like ethical leadership, as well as public speaking. That was kind of the bulk of the training that we did this weekend. We talked about, how to prepare yourself to speak in public, and we had all of our participants write their own stump speeches, and we were able to have all of them give their stump speeches for a very first time, and we were able to offer feedback, both constructive and positive, and it was really outstanding. We also talked about the infrastructure involved in the Democratic Party, the kind of the sub-organizations that are affiliated with the Democratic Party of Wisconsin here, things like congressional districts and county parties, congressional district parties, caucuses, the American Indian Caucus being one of them, and how you can really get involved at whatever level you want to participate in order to contribute to this effort of electing Democrats up and down ballots. And, I am excited because we are going to be having news of several Emerge candidates coming up in the coming months. We will have some candidates from the class of 2025, which is really exciting. I am really excited to see what these women do. They all came you know, with open minds and a desire to learn how to run a campaign. They asked questions that were very thoughtful and often anticipated, you know, future slides that were in slide deck presentations that we were giving. So that they were thinking along the right terms and really anticipating things that would be coming next and really kind of demonstrated a sort of forward thinking that we want to see in all of our elected leaders and progress towards a more equitable and just society and towards a world where we can do the most for the most people. It was really exciting. I can't wait to celebrate them at their graduation and kind of send them off into the world and support their candidacies and win and get elected from, you know, local city councils all the way up. You know, we may have some statewide candidates as well, which is also very exciting. I think the Emerge women and Emerge folks are going to do a lot in the next election cycle.
I would love it too if we took a half a show that you can interview some of your favorite pupils and get them on through the state of Wisconsin, of course, all through civic media, and of course here in Minnesota. That would be awesome.
Absolutely. I mean, they would be able to speak about, you know, why they got involved and kind of what the experience of Emerge gave them and what they were able to learn from the whole process and you know, really talk about feeling more prepared to run for mm-hmm. office and really kind of having that confidence and knowing, okay, yeah, I do know what to do and I can put these steps together and I can put together a successful campaign and reach out to the people that I need to reach out, which includes people that you are not, you know, maybe exposed to in your everyday life, reaching out and making connections outside of your bubble, outside of your community. So you really understand the needs of the constituency.
How long, I don't think I've ever asked you, but how long is the course? And I call it a course, but it's more than that. How long and how much do people really have to invest in time-wise through this process?
It is up to 6 months. We are currently working on kind of condensing our training. Usually historically we have done a 6 month program, one weekend a month, that we do a training, you know, kind of like 10 to 5, both Saturday and Sunday, but we're trying to make it more compact or condensed. And we'll be adding some weekday Zooms, weeknight Zooms instead of all the full 6 months, mm-hmm. because we want to be able to train up folks that can participate both in spring elections and be ready to go when signatures start for fall elections in May. So, you know, we're trying to make this training as accessible and as valuable to the folks that want to participate so that they are ready for their races on day one.
Well, it sounds like they will be ready. Let our audience know in the last cycle how successful Emerge candidates were.
Yeah, in spring 2025, as well as fall 2024, our alums ran and won at a rate of over 90%, which is unheard of. That is absolutely fabulous. We are so proud of everybody that put their name on the ballot. It takes a lot. You know, you have to, and you know this as somebody who has run for office, that it you know, you have to put in quite a bit of work in order for a campaign to be successful. You don't just announce and find a t-shirt cannon and say, yep, I'm going to be in Congress now. It takes a lot of work on the ground, and it takes a lot of support, you know, from your family and loved ones, from people that believe in you, and trying to get those folks to come and believe in your vision for the future and help support you. You as the candidate need to be spending all of your time either, unfortunately, raising money, but mm-hmm. you need to raise that money so you can contact all of the voters that you can, and reaching out and spending that time talking to voters. It does take money, and it does take a lot of time. So it is enough to be.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'm joined by Lisa White, one of the Democratic candidates in the 17th State Senate District, for this installment of Broad Appeal next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Soaring high above Lacrosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX Lacrosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The east coast of Japan on alert after an 8.7 magnitude earthquake off Russia's Pacific coast. The Japan Meteorological Agency holding a news conference this hour. Wave heights estimated to be as high as 10 feet. Meanwhile, tsunami warnings this hour around the Pacific Rim. The Hawaii Emergency Management Agency has activated their Emergency Operations Center and a tsunami watch for the U.S. West Coast. Officials say a note found on the gunman who killed four people, including an off-duty cop in a Midtown Manhattan office tower Monday, blamed his mental health problems on the NFL, claiming he had the brain injury CTE.
Officials say the gunman took his own life. His body found on the 33rd floor, along with his bloodstained rifle, a weapon similar to what the U.S. military uses.
170 million Americans from Nebraska to Florida to the Northeast are under heat alerts as a dangerous heat wave sweeps across the eastern half of the country. Feels like temperatures from 100 to 115 degrees. This is ABC News.